WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday Night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It is Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming live at twitch.tv/WTRLive and wildtalkradio.com. If you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop when you buy all the icons of Fortnite, because we're a hashtag epic partner. No. I'm the producer, Sir Rocket, joined as always by the intern, Kane Kittens.
Oh, ole, 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 ole. Oh, wait. I mean, that works for him, right?
Yeah. I mean, it could in 2 weeks.
Okay.
In 2 weeks, it could work for him.
Oh, that arena is going to be doing that damn chant.
We need this song back. Not his current one. We need this one back.
Just, if this version hits on that Saturday night?
Yeah. Did you know premium live events take place on Saturday?
Well, I couldn't remember if like the big ones took place on Saturday and then the other ones went back to or Sundays. But just saying. But yeah, no. If Roman's music hits and he walks out, and then all of a sudden you hear, oh, like everyone's gonna lose their shit. Everybody. But then again, they're going to do that anyway, because why? They're in Montreal!
We'll talk more about that here in just a moment. We also have the one and only Tim Stein.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to a non-premium edition of WTR Sunday Night. It is absolutely insane around here.
Ba-bum-ching.
See what I did there?
I saw what you did there.
Oh, I heard what you did there. Yeah.
There you go. Oh, boy. This is going to be an interesting week.
Why?
Leading up to next Sunday night.
Why would it be interesting?
Well, you know, it's all the trash talking and all the hype and all that other fun stuff. Of course, I'm talking about the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, the Super Bowl's next Sunday. Guess what? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we're not live next Sunday. Sorry. Nope. Not on Zippo Zilch. Not going to be a thing. Sorry. This is why tonight is your your Elimination Chamber preview without being Elimination Chamber preview, because I'm not doing a show next week because there's a fucking Super Bowl. So.
Jokies.
you see how I led into that. Okay. So apparently your Philadelphia Eagles are favored going in at 174 and the Chiefs are 245 or something like that.
Whatever the fuck that means.
That means that if you're a betting man and you love to gamble, bet on the Chiefs.
Y'all do that. Have fun with that. Go bet on the Chiefs
but
and then watch them lose.
If you want a sure thing, bet on the Eagles. I don't know what the
Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't say sure thing because that's not real.
No, that's what the numbers mean.
I'm just saying, don't put those two words together with the other team. No, 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 no.
You see, Brent saying sure thing and Philly Eagles win is like saying shutout when your team is playing hockey.
No, all we need is later this week someone to come out and make their pick. And, oh, if he chooses the Eagles, Rock.
Guess what?
Doomed.
No, 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 no. We already beat the Tapman curse, so fuck that.
No, you didn't.
We
not
did.
The big game, not when it
we
counts.
We beat it. We beat the Tapman curse. We went through this last week. We beat the Tapman curse.
You just went.
Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait, wait, wait. What was it, or who was it that
okay,
comes out every week?
Okay. Now I gotta explain things to Tim. So there's a streamer or YouTuber named Tim the Tapman who's awful at making predictions. He's a Dallas Cowboys fan. You should realize that and put all eggs together and figure it out. But when he leans towards betting on someone and says, "Hey, they're gonna win," they lose. So that's the thing.
Ooh, hey, Rock, are we doing props on CB Radio?
We are.
Sweet. Okay, because I just found a whole list of them.
Save them for Saturday.
I am a degenerate when it comes to this stuff. This is gonna be fun.
So he has the list. We'll take care of that Saturday. So 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Boom, be there. Super Bowl preview.
You know, the NHL a few years back had a monkey on their. I can't remember what channel it was. I think it might have been CBC or Sportsnet. They would have a monkey predict the winning team in the playoffs.
They do that for every. They have monkeys and turtles and snails and anything to predict.
There's a corgi who shoots basketballs from the top of the stairs into two baskets to predict winners on TikTok.
On TalkTik, they have it.
Yeah, on TalkTik there is corgis that do that.
Okay, I don't even want to watch TikTok. Okay, besides the point. But yeah, they do animals. Everyone does an animal. It's nothing new, Tim. It's been a whole tradition.
There's octopi that pick, you know, bins.
Hey, we have magic eight balls that do it, you know.
Hey, it's not my
video
fault.
Games.
You can't. Okay. I just got to say this right now to a listener. It's not my fault. You can't find the remote. I don't know where you put it. Look for it in the last place you had it.
Cool. Great insight. Need to interrupt our show for that. Anyway, let's.
Well, you know, it's a listener who texted me that
they can't find the remote. That's great,
and they're blaming me for not being able to find the remote.
That's great. That's great acknowledgement. What? Tell me about your creator wrestlers. Anyway, let's move on to Sami Zayn.
Are we creating wrestlers?
No, it was a joke. Brent got it.
I know. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, Brent got what I was meaning. Doesn't matter, Tim. Then we're gonna move
okay,
on.
An inside joke is only funny to those people who know what the fuck you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. That's all that matters. Sami Zayn made a decision this past week. He finally won something from Roman Reigns, and that's a shot at the Undisputed Universal Championship. And Roman Reigns, after beating his ass, gave it to him. At Elimination
and people
Chamber.
Are up in arms and pissed off that it's not the WrestleMania main event.
That is correct.
That's ridiculous.
Because Sami Zayn is over enough that they want him in the WrestleMania main event. And I said this before the Royal Rumble. That was going to be a thing if they put him in the Rumble and still were here and they still want him in the Mania main event.
Let's just put it this way. Where they're putting Sami and Roman, in my opinion, is the best place to do it. If you put it at Mania, you're going to have... you're going to have a lot of your casual fan go, even still, Sammy who? Don't get me wrong. I would love to see Sammy main event WrestleMania against Roman Reigns. I think the story is there and it's fantastic. But remember, when it comes to WrestleMania, you're appealing to a huge audience, not just your fans that watch every week.
There are people that never watch wrestling, never mind WWE, who purchase WrestleMania.
Yeah, there's a reason why you put, like, Logan Paul and Pat McAfee on WrestleMania. It's because you get people that tune in that have not really seen it, but go, I know those guys at least. That's why if Dwayne was there, that's a big thing because people know Dwayne from other areas and could be intrigued to tune in. Your WrestleMania main event, that's why Ronda main eventing WrestleMania back when she did was a huge deal because it pulled people in on the name value alone. In my opinion, when it comes to Sami Zayn, if you want to give him a title shot, you put it in the place where Roman is going to be the fan, you know, essentially the underdog with the crowd.
He's going to be the villain. He's going to be the biggest villain known to mankind because he's going to be in Montreal, and nobody's going to cheer Roman Reigns.
No, Roman's going to walk out. He's going to get that boo. He's going to look around and do that, like, I can't believe the fans aren't acknowledging me. And then Sammy's music is going to hit, and that place is going to be electric. That's going to be Daniel Bryan in Seattle.
It's going to be movement. It's going to be CM Punk in Chicago.
It's going to be Piper in Portland.
Dwayne in Miami.
But it's going to be that kind of moment where, like, no offense, do I think they're going to take the belt off of Roman that close to Mania with Sammy? No. But that crowd is going to be behind Sammy 100% and will him to, you know, to attempt to win.
Look at the reaction that it got from Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns, right?
Oh, yeah, in Wales.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that place was insane for Drew.
Just amp that up for Montreal.
Uh-huh.
Do you guys envision this main event leading to another wrestling match at WrestleMania to setting one up?
With Roman? No. With Bloodline?
No,
yes.
Not with Roman.
Here's the problem.
Well, yeah. No, the answer is, the simple answer is no. And Brett's going
to
explain.
One of the Uso brothers can't come to Canada.
But both.
Technically both, but one got a special exception last time. And there's talk that they may try to seek it again. They may try to cozy up with the Canadian government to be like, can you please let this one guy through? Okay? Look, we know he was an idiot in the past. We know he's done some stupid things. But we really need him there.
But we all know where WrestleMania is leading. It's leading to Owens and Sammy versus Usos. That's where we're leading.
That's where I was leading that, yes.
Yeah, and with the way that they're building it, it causes me to really actually want to see it because they're playing Jay really well in he's not there and Roman having to send Jimmy to try and find him. And when you do find him, is he even going to want to face Sammy and Kevin? Or is it like nah, dog, my heart's just not in it anymore.
He has to be there next week because they have a tag title defense on SmackDown. That's the big thing. Will Jay show up for the tag title defense, or will Jimmy have to defend it on his own? Because he's fighting, is it Braun and Ricochet?
Yeah, they got the SmackDown tag shot from the tournament win.
Mm-hmm, and it happens Friday. So we'll see Jay unless, there, maybe.
Unless they do the Freebird rule with Solo. That's possible.
What I was wondering.
To keep that confusion going a little longer.
They could, but I think we've run that course already just recently. It's, I don't know if you go back to it again.
I mean, there's different things that they can do, and the one thing I do have to say about it is it's intriguing. It makes you want to watch because there's so many, like, how are they going to handle this? How do you do this? What are you going to, you know, it's not just simply, oh, yeah, no, it's the Usos versus Kevin and Sammy straight up. That's what we're getting. Lol. Like, they've done a really good job with the overall storytelling of, like, yeah, they got you invested with Sammy. And then you knew the betrayal was coming when he, you know, wanted to save his friend. And now you've got that added element of Jay there. And again, it makes you go, how is this going to play out? Because Jay is the one who kind of ultimately bought in the end. But as Lindsay has talked about, and as we've touched on here, Jay was the impetus of the entire Bloodline storyline. He's the one that got beat down. He's the one that got Stockholm Syndrome and just acquiesced to the whole situation. And now if Sammy leaves and it was like, I bought in, and then Roman, you know, cast him down and out, he could be thinking in the back of his head, what about me? Like, is it my turn to get out? I'm thoroughly here for this story. And then you've got Cody sitting there as a credible challenger to Roman, even after Sammy. And so if Roman's focus is on Sammy and being emotional and like, I want to teach this guy a lesson, Cody can sit there and go, I've got 1 month. I can let you try and beat the hell out of Sammy. I can let Sammy work you over. And then I know in L.A., I'll be there. Will you be ready?
So how long do you keep Kevin off TV for?
You don't have him on any programming next week at all. And I'm torn about having him on the following week or have him make an appearance.
Is his first appearance Chamber?
At the Chamber.
I would make it Chamber. I would have the end of the show. If the way I would set it up is the following. Sammy loses to Roman, possibly, if you can get him, possibly to Jay. And you have Jay and Jimmy kind of beating up Sammy, and Jay being very emotional about it. Like, you know, I trusted you. You broke my heart. You broke my family. And they're working him over. And Kevin's music hits in Montreal for the save.
First off, they're going to raise the roof when Sammy and they will be playing his old music, by the way. But the roof is going to be raised when Sammy's music hits. And then when Kevin comes out to make the post-match save, it's going to absolutely explode.
Because to me, the lasting image at Elimination Chamber should be Kevin saving Sammy, and then either in the middle of the ring, it'll be a hug, or it's a handshake acknowledging, like, we're going this together.
It'll be a handshake, then a hug.
But something like that, in front of that crowd, setting it up for Mania, oh, you'll have everyone eating out of the palm of your hand for that. It won't be a main event, but everyone will be like, I want to see that match.
So, that's what's going on with Sammy. He takes on Roman Reigns at Elimination Chamber on the 18th of February on a Saturday night, Brent, for a premium live event. Write it down in your calendar.
Thank you.
Write it down.
The one thing I liked about the post match beat or the interaction at SmackDown was Sammy jumped Roman, got his shots in. Roman powered through it, asked Paul for the chair, and then Sammy hit that spear. And again, the fans ate it up. But then when Sammy got beat down and they set him in the corner, and it was, you could easily have done, you know, Solo with the hip attack with the chair, like they've done with Riddle, like they've done with KO, but Roman stopped him. And it's that, like, no, I don't want to just beat you. I want to beat you, embarrass you in your home country in front of all of your friends and family. And the element that it's adding to that match is Roman's going to be emotional for that match. Usually he's calm, he's calculated. The only time we've really seen someone try to play that extra bit of mind games or to try and get Roman past just the normal bit was Seth at Rumble last year. And so what's going to happen when Roman has to keep his emotions in check?
We will see.
Yeah.
Someone else made a choice, and that was Rhea Ripley on Monday Night Raw. She didn't choose Bianca. She chose Charlotte Flair.
Called it.
Why Charlotte?
I guess on name value it's better, and there's the storyline that Rhea has never beaten Charlotte.
The storyline that Charlotte comes back and takes the title from Rhea?
Right, the opposite.
Well, originally.
Originally, yeah.
But I don't know. Leading into this match, like you talked about, Rog, I really think Bianca needed something new, and I thought Rhea could be that thing. I thought having someone that could match her physically, could match her, like, wrestling talent-wise, would have made for a very intriguing matchup. No offense to Charlotte and Rhea, they're both great workers, seen it before. With Bianca and Rhea, I mean, we've seen it in NXT, but we haven't seen it on the main roster. And I think it would have been something that the fans would really like or would be able to get behind.
But they had no story behind it for a buildup. There is a story behind Rhea and Charlotte.
No, because Rhea was the number one contender back in July, and then she got hurt. There is story there. When they crossed paths a few months ago, the crowd erupted just the thought of the two of them locking eyes. There's story. There's their history in NXT. There's story.
You guys aren't thinking like the casual fan.
The casual fan is the one who erupts in the arena, though, Tim. They erupt. They saw it. What's the story? The casual fan wouldn't know the story between Charlotte and Rhea, though. Like, that's the thing. You're saying there's story there. The casual fan wouldn't know that off the top of their head.
They would know that more than they would know anything that happened in NXT.
I'm also saying it happened in July on Raw. There was crosshairs. They were ready. And Rhea got hurt. Anyway.
Oh my goodness.
Well, here's the other thing. If Rhea wins, that pulls her to SmackDown.
It does.
And away from the Judgment Day.
Where they follow. Because...
And Rey sits there and goes, God damn it!
That's the thing, because we're all expecting Rey and Dominic to go. So you move Judgment Day over with Rhea to feud in the build. That's what you do.
Aren't we expecting Ray and Dominic at Mania?
That's what I'm saying. So you move Judgment Day over for the build of Mania. She has backup. They're good there.
So between now and when they face each other, the build up is Charlotte is the babyface.
Yeah.
It's kind of inescapable to do it that way.
She's the one they want. That's the babyface. So here we are.
In case you hadn't noticed, I was choking on that.
I know. So that's Charlotte and Rhea going to Mania. Bianca now has no opponent, and now she gets to face the winner of the Elimination Chamber. Who should face Bianca at WrestleMania?
Hang on.
you got Nikki. You got Asuka. You have Liv, Raquel, Natalya, and one to be determined this Monday are all between Carmella, Candace, and two others off the top of my head. I can't remember. Is it Mia? I think Mia might be one.
Piper Niven, Mia, Carmella, and Candace.
Yeah. So who should go to WrestleMania to fight Bianca? Is it Asuka?
That would be a good match.
Especially because now Asuka's got her dark persona, and we're starting to see that.
She brought her New Japan alias back.
Yeah. You're starting to see that play out a little bit more, but like behind the scenes and, you know, like the interview with Carmella, you start seeing Asuka's a little bit more crazy now, which makes her a little bit more dangerous. Liv's a challenger. Do I think she's a Mania challenger? I don't know if I would go there quite yet. I think Liv challenging for the SmackDown title in the next 2 or 3 months could be a good storyline, especially depending upon who wins the SmackDown match.
Might make more sense.
Yeah, she has ties, I think, with both people. Personally, I wouldn't mind Nikki, but I don't know if there's a big name value behind that.
No. I think the biggest, as they say, money draw would be Asuka.
An intriguing matchup, though, is Raquel.
That would be the second biggest money draw.
Because, again, I want to see someone that challenges Bianca, whoever it is. Asuka, from a pure wrestling standpoint, yes. Raquel, from a pure
power
standpoint, absolutely.
Yeah. The two, air quotes, strongest women in WWE, pound for pound.
So those are your two choices, basically, Raquel and Asuka. Two unique matches, and it could lead to something interesting for us. I mean, it may give Bianca some challenge.
You know, as far as who's going to win, for me, it's a coin toss between those two.
Okay.
Really?
If I had to pick for Mania, I would go Asuka because she becomes the new bar setter for Raw.
Yeah.
And what you can do is you can put Bianca a little bit on the back burner. You can have, you know, because she has been carrying the load for about a year. But with Asuka, it's like you've got those challengers with Becky, with Bayley, other members of Damage Control, although depending upon some reports, who knows, they may run into a very big brick wall here very soon.
Yeah.
When someone comes back.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like with Asuka, I think, especially with the way that she is with her new character, it opens up people on both sides, heel and face, to face her, because you don't know what Asuka's going to be at any moment. She's just going to be a general ass kicker. And I think with Hunter in charge, he can put Asuka on that dominant role that we saw in NXT before and really determine, is anyone ready for Asuka? So if I had to pick between the two, as much as I would love to see Raquel get a chance, I think she's still, you know, early enough that if you decide to put it on the back burner just a bit, it's not going to hurt. And you can run with Asuka versus Bianca, have Bianca drop the belt and take a little bit of time, you know, film a reality show if she wants to, because that's also waiting there. And then you set the new bar with Asuka.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. Again, Chamber is on the 18th of February. This is our kind of mini preview, which leads us to the other match announced, which is the Elimination Chamber for the men for the United States Championship. Austin Theory defense against Rollins, Gargano, Reed, and two wrestlers still to be determined. Do you keep the belt on Austin Theory heading into WrestleMania?
Yes.
Why?
Because you could have a big money match with him at Mania for that U.S. title.
With him against who, though?
Play the damn trumpets.
You do an open challenge, the United States open challenge that gets answered by. Mm-hmm. Do.
Because what you could do is you could have Austin Theory make a joke of it. Have him do, like, an open challenge leading in, and, you know, the week or two heading into Mania. And, you know, someone who isn't quite up to championship level comes to answer it, and Theory beats him. Same thing next week, does the same. And he comes into Mania, and he's just like, oh yeah, we're gonna do an open challenge for the U.S. title. Who's gonna answer it? Trumpets hit, and you just watch him go, oh shit. But then they have a banger of a match.
After banger.
No, that's the other. That's the SmackDown side.
Right.
Yeah. But just looking at the group that's already in the Elimination Chamber, you know they're going to have people that are going to have some fun in that match.
Yeah.
Johnny Gargano is just looking at it going, yeah, I can kind of kill myself on this thing. Bronson Reed's going to do a tsunami off one of the pods, just calling it. Seth is just a great worker, and I'm waiting to see Montez Ford do something stupid from, like, hanging from the chamber.
Because he's one of the options that could be in the chamber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last two are, the Street Profits are both in singles matches. So it's Dawkins versus Priest and Elias versus Ford.
Yeah.
But well,
imagine if it's both of them.
I mean, you could plant the seeds for something with those there, because we've already seen that they've kind of hinted at, you know, Ford not tagging in at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And Dawkins has gotten himself into some, you know, pretty good shape. So, I mean, maybe they're setting up to let the Street Profits go on their separate ways.
Or they're just going to do some stuff and we'll see where it goes. And
yeah,
you don't split them. They just do their own thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw that with the New Day at some point. They were like, dude, we're not breaking up, but we all got individual goals we want to do too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we don't know.
Something
again,
to see.
I like the options that we're getting with booking now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before it felt, you know, sometimes very cut and dry, or it's like, okay, yeah, we can see that they're absolutely going to split them. And plus, we've talked about it before, if you do split up the Street Profits, I hate to say it, one of them is more charismatic than the other.
Just a little bit.
One of them has more talent than the other.
Just a little bit.
One of them
needs the other a little more.
One of them was a perennial tag team guy in NXT until they got paired with the other.
Yeah, poor Ford, he needs all the help he can get.
Yeah, you know, he relies on his wife's charisma.
To really shine.
To really kind of put himself out there. In case anyone can't tell, that is being sarcastic.
Yeah. So yeah, that's sort of what Chamber's going to be. We'll have their actual picks posted on social media leading up to the show. Because there's no preview next week, because, again,
we're going to watch football and tailgate parties and shit.
Football over show.
We're going to give very thoughtful consideration on all of the commercials that are taking place next weekend. I mean, there's not really anything else that's happening. It's just the commercials.
Just the commercials. Yeah.
We don't care about those guys like hitting each other on the field. I can give a shit about that.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, who's doing the halftime show?
That would be Rihanna.
Interesting.
So get your umbrella, Ella.
A.
All right. It's a new year. Means new all-time greatest. Let's get into it.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do.
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
The all-time greatest wrestling betrayal. Is this go around all-time greatest? We have 64 of them to get through.
At first it was 32, and then we went, oh shit, wait, there's more.
And then we got like 40-something, and we're like, all right, we can get to 64. We can figure this out.
Yeah, let's get 64. Let's roll.
Why eliminate some? Well, we can just add more. So there'll be some that can make you go, eh. But there'll a lot of go, oh, that one.
Yeah.
This was not a case of, oh, let's go through the list and see who we have to drop.
So, yeah.
Nope.
No, we made sure as many as we could think of made the
and
list.
And they all made it.
So we start off with Stone Cold Steve Austin betraying the WWE for the alliance of WCW in 2001.
And ECW.
That's why I said the alliance of WCW. I said the alliance. Long live the alliance. Long live the alliance. Taking on Eve Tourist, dick-kicking Zack Ryder. Brent.
I want to say the bigger moment, Steve Austin betraying WWE. Although, at the same time, there was an, like, there was that other betrayal of, like, Kurt coming back to WWE after betrayal. It was, that whole thing was just a giant cluster.
Long live the Alliance. Long live the Alliance.
But it was also like, yeah, Steve Austin betrayed WWE, but at the same time, it didn't matter worth a shit because WWE still won. So,
it's not the outcome.
But the betrayal didn't do much.
It doesn't matter.
It did. It gave us the Hurricane and Steve Austin and Taz feuding over shirts and Deborah's cookies.
Boy, okay, yeah, that's going to swing my vote there. No, for me, if I'm going to vote betrayal on this, I'm voting Eve.
Okay, you're going
Eve. They had that whole storyline of, like, you know, Zach and Eve and John and what was going to happen. And then at Mania, you know, Eve is there for her man and then just walloped him right in the nethers with that kick. And it's just like, nope, I'm out.
For those playing along at home, you go to WrestleTalkRadio.com. to see the entire bracket. So we got one for the dick kick. We have one for Steve Austin betraying WWE for WCW, thanks to Keishi Matsunaga. We go to Tim to break the tie.
Well, hindsight is 20/20, and you can never tell when somebody is going to actually screw up a storyline, booking writing-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it runs off the rails after the fact or not is not the point, which is what I was saying when I kept interrupting you, Brent. A dick kick is always something for guys to cross their legs and groan at. But the Steve Austin betrayal, because of what it was supposed to be, is the bigger deal, even though they dropped the ball after the fact.
They dropped the ball in the fact by having, like, three people turn in the match. Because if I remember correctly, it was Big Show. You had Kurt flip back. You had Steve flip.
No, you're in the wrong match. You're in the wrong match. Kurt was always WWE.
I thought there was questions about Kurt going into that Survivor Series match.
No, Invasion. No, this is Invasion.
Oh, Invasion.
This is Invasion. You're on the wrong.
It's the Invasion angle. What were you thinking?
He was thinking the finale.
Oh no.
This was the betrayal for, this is where he, to start off the Invasion, where he...
The initial betrayal, Brent.
Okay.
Not the outcome. Your entire argument...
No, his argument's right. He just had the wrong match for other people go flipping. That's all.
Yeah, okay. But no, this is the initial thing, and this is why it was, is so big, because it was supposed to be, the shock... that rivaled Hulk Hogan turning heel.
I want to go with Austin already turned heel like 3 months prior, then became
you
a
know what
face
I mean. And... I wasn't saying Austin turning heel. I was saying Austin betraying. The betrayal was supposed to rival that.
So you're going Austin?
Yes.
Okay. Just going to move it on. Randy.
Just grooming.
Randy Savage betrays Hulk Hogan, where Andre the Giant turns on Hulk Hogan. Go, Tim.
Brother.
Who cares? Both of them turned on Hogan, so it's a tie.
That's not how that works, though. No.
I know. The whole thing with Andre and Hogan, back and forth on that one, they were adversaries a lot more than they were comradely. Comrade, whatever I'm trying to say.
We're trying to figure that out.
They were always on the opposite sides more often than the same sides of the coin. Randy fluctuated between heel and tweener, and it was absolutely massive when the two of them allied. And everybody's like, oh my God, the two biggest stars in WWF and their partners, and it was huge back then. I remember all of this, and then all of a sudden it was a turn out of the, like, you did not, even though the whole thing led up to it, and going back and rewatching all of it, you could see the build up. It was something that never cemented itself in the back of people's minds. And Randy betraying Hogan was ultimately the bigger of these two.
So you went with?
Randy betrays Hogan.
So Brent gets to break the tie because Keishi went Andre for turning on Hogan, brother.
Good job, Keishi.
Fool, Keishi.
Casey, you know how this works. Good job.
He said, by the way, he sent me the entire first round already, so we have them all.
Sweet. Awesome.
Well, he's only available on Super Bowl Sunday, so.
Yeah. Same thing, we're not doing a show. All right, Brent, break the tie.
Andre turning on Hogan was the setup for the big WrestleMania 3 match. And, I mean, it, of course, then led to, like, beating Hogan for the title and handing it to DiBiase, which then set up WrestleMania 4. But to me, the bigger thing was the superpowers. It was the two biggest names in WWF at the time joining together as a, you know, cohesive force. And yes, Randy was kind of a tweener, especially with, as I've talked about before, this idea of, you know,
mega powers.
Well, it's just the way that he treated Elizabeth is what really was essentially his heel bit. Like, as a performer, he kind of towed the line, but it was like, you know, pulling Elizabeth in front of him during matches to get that advantage, or, you know, not really caring if she was okay or not while he performed. But it wasn't until Hogan gets involved and it's like, you know, carrying her to the back that Randy's like, oh, hell no, this is my girl. What are you doing? Which, of course, eventually led to the superpowers just imploding and then set up the super match that we got between them. So in this respect, in terms of betrayal, I think Savage turning on Hogan and kind of cementing himself as one side is what I would go with.
Eddie Guerrero betrays Rey Mysterio and Wrath betrays Mortis. Brent.
Really? Okay. So remember when Rock said there are some that we go, eh. Don't get me wrong. I love me some old 90s WCW. And Wrath and Mortis, you know, great. We had our pseudo Mortal Kombat characters that we got to work with. Yay. No, it's Eddie and Rey because we got... This was the introduction of Dominic Mysterio into WWF, you know, consciousness.
Dominic on a pole match.
This was Eddie claiming legitimacy of Dominic and just all of the... Eddie got to be just the complete bastard heel in this run, and it was glorious to see.
The amount of fun that he was having was impossible to hide.
And it's one of those things, like, it wouldn't work unless it was Rey, unless he has that lineage with him and that, you know, history of, oh yeah, you know, we've wrestled each other a bunch, we know each other, our families have come up together. No, it's like, you need that in order to pull this off, and he just ran with it, and Eddie got to just revel in being a complete asshole.
So, all in favor of Eddie betraying Rey over Wrath and betraying Mortis, say aye?
Aye.
Say to Casey, moves on.
If Casey said Wrath and Mortis, that's when I'd be like, okay, no, hang on.
All right, Scott Steiner betrays his brother Rick Steiner to join the New World Order, or Evolution turns on Randy Orton.
Ooh,
Brent.
That way I went first this time.
I don't care.
It doesn't matter. I understand. Okay, so we have the implosion of the Steiner brothers.
Yes.
Although this was slightly telegraphed with the fact that Scott had decided to cut the mullet and was growing that awful beard already.
And this was just before the introduction of his math.
Long before.
I was going to say it was long before. But this is when Scott got a little bit too jacked. So
he was working out in the power plant, that's all. He was working out the power plant.
I think he was doing more than just working out at the power plant.
Just an aside, who do you think he sounds more like? Bron Breakker sounds more like his dad or his uncle?
Promo-wise, he sounds like his uncle when he talks.
Like his voice.
His uncle.
Yeah.
He sounds more like that. He wrestles more like his dad.
He wrestles like his dad and sounds like his uncle.
So it's like, it was the betrayal of the tag team. Looking at the betrayal, and at least in my opinion, I do have to factor a little bit in of like what happened after. I feel a little bit more disappointed in terms of like what came from that betrayal. It's like Scott Steiner took off a little bit more being Big Papa Pump.
A little bit more.
Then we realized, oh yeah, Rick didn't have the charisma. All he had was the bark. Literally, the bark. With Randy and Evolution, it's like Randy kind of started to come into his own with Evolution, because before that he was just, you know, third generation wrestler Randy Orton, and I think we talked about it last night, like, his original finisher was a flying crossbody, yay, but Evolution gave him that platform, let him kind of take off. This was his first chance to, like, really be a main event performer when he got to face Triple H, but I will say the heel run probably wasn't the best, or I'm sorry, the face run for him at this point was not the best. But in terms of overall, I would have to probably go with Evolution and Randy being the bigger betrayal.
Tim.
Evolution betraying Randy was Randy's first real mega push. And yeah, his babyface run wasn't the greatest, but the title win and then the Batista bomb catapulted Randy, in my eyes, into the stratosphere and put him on the road to what he became. In that regards, that was absolutely massive and huge. Storyline wise, it made sense at the time to split up the Steiner brothers. NWO was like growing by leaps and bounds and becoming the biggest entity in the solar system at the time. But it was absolutely massive. Evolution did not last very long as a faction at all, in the grand scheme of things when you look at factions. But in the short time that they did exist as the original foursome, they were a hell of a force. And the fact that three of them turned on the guy that won the championship was a wave maker, and that gets my vote.
And we make it a clean sweep, Evolution turning on Randy Orton. I think that's a good place to end it. We got through one little bit of the bracket. We'll do more in 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Evolution is a mystery, man.
It is, in fact, a mystery. But I say that's what we call it for the night.
Well, it's no mystery that there's no show next Sunday night because we're going to be football.
Watching fucking football. Deal with it,
football. What are you doing swearing?
Why not?
Because it's not you.
Do you listen, Saturday?
Like, would you need to drink less coffee on Sundays? I don't care about Saturdays. I'm not around.
We are a damn PG show here.
Mm-hmm. Bullshit. Shut up. Anyway. Whatever, man. Tomorrow immediately following Raw, there's a post-show happening.
Maybe. We'll see. It's Raw post-show Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
What, starting to tailgate tomorrow?
No, someone's picking up their parents at 6 a.m., so we'll see if they're awake by 11. Find out. Hey. Tune in tomorrow.
Well, you know, there's a great invention that they came up with that works especially great with little ones and toddlers. It's called a nap. Try it sometime.
No.
Anyway, maybe there's one, maybe there's not. Check social media. Follow along on social media to find out.
Yeah. What he said.
Yeah, but one thing that's going to happen Thursday night at 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, is the return of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack Radio Show with Lindsay Ward, by Rock.
We will review NXT Vengeance Day plus news notes and everything you want from the Rack live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Why don't you just use the creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite, whatever.
Use creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop when you buy the icons of Fortnite and streaming and all the things. Because we're hashtag Epic Partner and Kamehame and whatever. Yeah, Fortnite with friends, Saturday. 9:30 p.m. Eastern, followed by CB Radio, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, where we do a thing. Last night's debate was the all-time greatest babyface.
You asshole!
Because we went back and did it, and we almost had the same result.
Almost? Who was yours?
Who was it, Brent?
God, I can't remember.
Was it Cena? It was Cena over Hogan? Yeah, it was Cena over Hogan.
And what was ours?
Hogan over Austin.
Hogan over Cena.
No, Hogan over Austin.
Oh, over Austin.
Yeah.
Okay, there you
Austin,
go.
It was Austin, Dusty, Cena, and Hogan, our final four. You guys had Ray in there.
And that totally messes up how I was going to lead into that, but whatever.
Doesn't matter. So, Saturday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, CB Radio, Super Bowl preview. Be there.
And then Sunday, it's Philly and Kansas City. So pick your team and cheer for them. Because we're going to be doing that instead of the webcast. But that being said, like I said earlier, follow info on social medias, Rock.
At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com, Wild Talk Radio Network. WTL Sunday night on Facebook and Twitter.
Absolutely. By the way, I'm on Twitter at Flames Forms. follow it. You'll be glad you did. If you haven't followed yet, you're missing out. No, trust me, you are. Shut up, Rock. I said shut up. Anyway, oh, hey, you know what? Casey isn't here, but he's also on Twitter, and he'll be back eventually. So find out when by following him at Kyle Driver on Twitter, with Pile Driver, but with a K.
It's Kyle,
with a K.
It's Kyle Driver. It's Kyle Driver on Twitter and Instagram. Link in description for his Redbubble, or on both platforms.
Yeah, go to redbubble.com and type in Casey, and all of his shop will come up. Speaking about Redbubble, I'm on Redbubble. I've got more and more stuff showing up on a regular basis, not just T-shirts. It's a whole bunch of different things that you can get. Support the Wild Talk Radio Network. In other words, support my paying for the server by buying stuff. Steinsdesigns.redbubble.com. Check it out. Brent.
Yeah.
You should, like, do a Redbubble or something, but in the meantime, get on Twitter.
I am on Twitter. You can find me at Kane Kittens. I don't know if I have anything to make a Redbubble of.
There you go. That being said, I think we're done, Rock.
Make sure you use credit code Rock Second Fortnite Item Shop, and if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. But click the purple rectangular button below the screen. Now, Tim, say goodnight.
Good night.
WildTalkRadio.com.